Welcome to the Step by Step podcast. I'm Steve Braswell. Glad you're listening today. When I first started to do this podcast, I thought, well, how would I begin? And I thought we'd start by looking at the three very basic questions of life. First, who am I? My identity. Second, why am I here? My purpose. And then today, the third one, where am I going? My destiny. I want to start by reading from John chapter 14. The setting of this is that Jesus is getting ready to go away. This is the last night. He's with his disciples before his crucifixion. And so beginning in verse 1, we read Jesus speaking to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas spoke up. I'm glad that he did. Jesus taught lots of things that I would like to speak up and ask questions about, but Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." So, third question, where am I going? Do you like to know where you're going? I have known people to set out on a vacation trip and just follow the road wherever it would take them. They would come to a stop sign and say, "Well, do you want to turn right or left? Or do you want to take this exit or the next exit?" And have no plan in mind about where they're going to eat or where they're going to sleep. I don't understand those kind of people. I'm not wired that way. I know people that take trips like that and have a wonderful time, but I like to plan ahead. Even if I have to change my plans, I like the comfort of knowing there is a plan. I like to know where I am going. Well, even beyond a simple trip away from my home address, how much more would I like to know where I'm going in this life and in the life to come? Of course, there's several options. You can think, and as far as the life to come, I mean, you know you're going to die. You know that there's something. What? Maybe nothing. So here are your options. I'm not going anywhere except in the ground. I'm going somewhere, but there's no way for me to know where it is or what it's like. Or third, I'm going somewhere and the only way to know what it's like is to hear from someone who's already been there. Jesus got his disciples together after having lived and worked and traveled with them for some 3 years, but now it's crunch time. It's the night before his death. He knows it's coming. He even knows that one of his own, Judas, has something to do with it. But he has some final words to say to his closest friends. Basically, he's saying to them, "I'm going away, but don't be upset." Now, those two statements seem to be contradictory. The only way the second part can be true is if there is something greater coming than his own presence. And there is. One, he says, you won't be alone because I will send the Holy Spirit. Two, you won't be alone because I'm coming back to take you to be with me. So to help their hearts not be troubled, Jesus talks about what he will do for them in terms of portraying himself as a master builder. I like that image. I'm drawn to that image because my own father was a master builder of churches and homes and offices and all kinds of things. You know that the Gospels say that Jesus himself was a carpenter by trade. Actually, the Greek word that's used there means simply craftsman, and so it could apply to wood or stone, but he was a master craftsman, a master builder. And so I want you to think with me today about Jesus, the master builder, and think of how Jesus' work of building is described in John 14. I'm going to mention seven characteristics. First, Jesus' building is trustworthy. Verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus hasn't even started talking about his work of building yet. He'll get to that. But the starting point is that Jesus is someone we can trust, even or especially in times when our hearts are troubled. How does Jesus know about troubled hearts? Well, John tells us three times in his gospel that Jesus himself was troubled. You can look at them. Chapter 11, verse 33, chapter 12, verse 27, chapter 13, verse 21. Jesus himself was troubled. He understands what it's like for us when we are troubled. Is your heart troubled today? It seems from surveys that anxiety is on the rise because of politics or the economy, or maybe just what's happening in your personal life. Jesus says to you, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust me, I've got this. So Jesus' building is trustworthy. Secondly, Jesus' building is expansive. Verse 2, my Father's house has plenty of room. Jesus' work is inclusive and large and built to the specification, so there's plenty of room for all who will come. I think of that great African-American spiritual based on this verse. Plenty good room in my Father's kingdom. The word translated room actually is the Greek word for remain or abide or dwell, the same word Jesus will use in chapter 15, verse 7. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Jesus will make a place for you to abide with him, and there's plenty of room for all who will come. It's expansive. Third, Jesus' building is personal. Verse 2, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Let that sink in. Jesus has gone to the Father's house to prepare a place just for you. It's personal. It's designed with you and your needs in mind. It's got you written all over it. Jesus' building is personal. Fourth, Jesus' building is thoughtful. Verse 2, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Have you ever received a gift that someone worked hard on for many hours to make it just right? Maybe especially with you in mind. And maybe you said, what a thoughtful gift. What a great and thoughtful gift it is that Jesus is working and building for us. He's putting a lot of thought into it because of his love for us. Then number 5, Jesus' building is purposeful. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. Jesus' building for us is very purposeful. It's all with a specific purpose in mind. After he finishes, he'll come back to get us and take us to be with him. He has that plan and that purpose in mind. 6, Jesus' building is eternal. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. And Paul adds in his description of the Lord's return in 1 Thessalonians 4, and so we will be with the Lord forever. This is not a temporary home. It's not made with human materials by human hands so that it's subject to deterioration or decay. We will be with the Lord forever. Everything in this life constantly changes. Even the things we enjoy the most then at some point are taken away from us. But there we will be with the Lord forever. And then 7, Jesus' building is enjoyable. Verse 3, I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. I mentioned in the last podcast, Westminster Shorter Catechism, and the first question, what is the chief end of human beings? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Some people just stop with to glorify God, and that's a huge thing, and that's great. But I like that they added, and to enjoy Him forever. Jesus built us a place so we can be with God and enjoy God forever. Some people have the mistaken notion that the less you enjoy life, the better Christian you are. God doesn't want you to enjoy anything. That is not the case. Jesus building for us to be with God forever is built so that we would enjoy it. How can we be sure of all this? Well, we have to trust in God and in Jesus, because Jesus says He is the way to God, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me, He said. Back in 1963, theologian Karl Barth gave some lectures at Princeton, and then he allowed for a question and answer time. One bright student asked, "Sir, don't you think that God has revealed Himself in other religions and not just in Christianity?" Barth's answer surprised many. He said, "No, God has not revealed Himself in any religion, not even Christianity. God has revealed Himself in His Son. That's it." The focus is on Jesus. The focus for us as Christians, we should be Jesus-centered people. Josh McDowell went off to college as a young man looking for a good time. He tried going to church, but found that unsatisfying, as maybe many college students do. He ran for student leadership positions, but the glamour quickly wore off. He tried the party circuit, but got tired of waking up Monday morning feeling worse than ever. He finally noticed a group of students at a Bible study, and they seemed to be really enjoying themselves. He asked one of them why they seemed to be so different, and she said, "Jesus Christ." He said, "Oh, for heaven's sake, don't give me that garbage about religion." She said, "I didn't say religion. I said Jesus Christ, and there's no one else like Him." Of course, in time, McDowell himself came to believe in Christ so that his life was changed, and he became the foremost Christian apologist of his generation, authoring numerous books like Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's all about Jesus. I was talking with someone just the other day, and they were telling me their personal story about growing up going to church and being taught things in the church. But then, as an adult, they realized, I got all this stuff from the church. I was taught all these things about how to live and to feel guilty when I didn't live that way. But I never really got to know Jesus. And now I found out it's really all about Jesus. These verses in John 14 are really precious truths to us. They're read a lot at funerals, but I think we need to read them even before the time of death. Dr. A.L. Gabelein told the story of the treasure of a German family Bible that went back many generations. He could turn to many pages in that Bible, and the pages were just as clean as if the Bible had just come off the press. But then when he turned to John 14, it was spotted and soiled and worn from the tears of many generations, because those words were so precious. So friends, the age-old question, where am I going? Is there life after this life? What will it be like? So many questions we have, but we really don't have answers to. People ask me all the time questions about heaven, and I try to tell them that, you know, all we really know is what the Bible tells us. We have lots of ideas, dreams about what we would like for it to be like. But we have to stick with what the Bible tells us. What Jesus tells us here is so important. Very simple. I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. I'm making a place, I'm building a place, and I'll take you to be with Me forever. That's really enough. Enough for today. Thanks so much for listening. Next week, I'm going to start a brand new series called Surviving the Storm. All of us face storms in our lives. How do we survive those storms? We're going to spend weeks looking at that. So I hope you'll join me next week with Surviving the Storm.